This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code POD to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code POD at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code POD.
Get ready now.
This OMG
is the Rich Eisen Show.
No other way to put it.
With guest host Andrew Siciliano.
Oh my gosh.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
I'm not talking to you. I talk to anybody out there, the haters.
Rich Eisen.
I talk to the haters right now.
Earlier on the show, NFL Network reporter Mike Garofolo. Senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Joe Vardis.
Still to come.
Best-selling author and golf writer, Alan Shipnuck. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Andrew Siciliano.
With Rich coming back tomorrow, hope everyone had a fantastic weekend. A belated happy Father's Day to you and yours and to mine as well. Glad we were able to talk yesterday. Thanks for being here, friends. A day after Bryson DeChambeau wins his second U.S. Open and does so with an amazing save on 18, does so without being able to hit a fairway most of the day, does so with a 55-yard shot out of a bunker that you're going to be telling your kids about one day. And when your kids are celebrating Father's Day years from now, they'll be telling their kids about the shot that Bryson DeChambeau hit. And also, a major championship that Rory McIlroy let slip away again, and did so in a fashion that probably the same thing applies. You will be telling your kids about one day, and they will be telling their kids about one day, because he missed two putts on the back nine, within 4 feet, basically. Putts that he never misses. You see the face he's making there? That's the face of a man who let another major slip away. The face of a man who left afterwards. When DeChambeau did win and didn't talk to the media, I know you should be better than that, but I get it. It's the one time where I'm like, you know what? As a member of the media, I wish you did speak, and it is the proper thing to do. You could have gone up there and did the Rasheed Wallace, I'm just here so I don't get fined. I don't think that would have been cool either, but I get it, because it was that painful. It was that painful to watch, for Pete's sake. You know how you felt watching it. Brockman, you know how you felt waking up this morning, still in anguish,
still just,
over it.
Just gutted for him.
Gutted. Imagine what he must feel like then, knowing that you lost to Bryson DeChambeau the way that you lost. And whether it was Bryson or anybody on the leaderboard yesterday. Cantlay, let's anybody on the leaderboard. Anybody. The fact that you lost by missing those two putts, the fact that even with everything that had gone wrong, if you make that putt on 18, you're getting a playoff. The look on his face waiting to see if Bryson could make his putt on 18. It was excruciating, regardless. Alan Shipnuck will join us coming up shortly. Also coming up tonight, Game 5 of the NBA Finals, where I firmly do think the Boston Celtics will close this thing out. They're not going to blow a 3-0 lead. I think Friday was an aberration, and I think they're going to win it tonight. Joe Vardon from The Athletic was on earlier. He said that, and I never heard this before, we had never heard this before, that bars in Boston have been told by the local authorities they can't let anyone in after halftime. If you are in before halftime, that's great. But after halftime, to try to prevent people from flowing either A, from the arena into the bars and keeping the party going far too long and making it far too rowdy, or B, people flowing out of their homes, out of their apartments, and into bars when it looks as if maybe the Celtics can close it out down the stretch. You can't let people in after halftime. That sounds bonkers to me, but I do think it's a celebration tonight. Tonight does hold significance in the NBA and really Americana and American history. Where were you? Think about it, friends. Today's date is
June 17th.
June 17, 2024. Where were you 30 years ago tonight? Well, let me think about it for a second. Okay. 30 years ago tonight. Can you remember? Tell you where I was. I was in my apartment at the corner of Comstock and Ostrom.
Yes.
In Syracuse, New York.
Fantastic.
And I was watching game five of the NBA Finals, the Knicks and the Rockets, Pat Riley and Rudy Tomjanovich coaching those teams. I was watching it on NBC. Game five of the NBA Finals. Big deal, you say. Do you know what else happened during Game 5 of the NBA Finals that evening?
Man, just unbelievable.
A certain
buckets.
Former
Hakeem.
Pro Bowl Hall of Fame running back who coincidentally played most of his NFL games about 2 hours away from the apartment in which I was sitting, 3 hours away, two and a half, in Buffalo, New York. Orenthal James Simpson was in an American-made white Ford SUV, a Bronco, and he was in a low-speed police chase on the 405 freeway and others in Los Angeles. The 405, which is quite literally walking distance from where we sit right now. Right. I guarantee you he drove by this studio.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I bet he did. Actually, he probably was on Imperial Highway 100%. Or the 105 at one point. I don't remember the exact route. I had never been to California at that point in my life.
Nope.
Had never stepped foot in the state of California. Certainly didn't live here. Didn't know it. Didn't know that 5-6 years later, I would be living in an apartment on Saltaire Avenue, three blocks from the scene of the crime, one block from Bundy. Didn't know that 6 years later, I would be living right there, but I would be. And to paint the picture for you, this is before social media, kids.
Before cell phones, really.
Email was everywhere. Just a thing only a year or two earlier, 3-4 years earlier. I remember I got to Syracuse in 1992.
You had email then?
And we got our first email addresses. They were syr.edu email addresses, yeah. But you could only send email internally, like on campus. You couldn't send email outside of campus. So email was just a thing. Cell phones were not a thing yet. Beepers were still a thing, but only drug dealers had them. Okay, so digital communication was not a thing. Also not a thing, the New York Knicks winning championships. They hadn't won one since 73, still haven't. So the Knicks, and again, I am in the state of New York. The Knicks being in the finals is the only story. Nobody cares about OJ. And I know that it would be a story that would dominate American headlines, not only for weeks and months and subsequent years through two trials, but still to this day, with his recent passing, dominates American headlines. But in that moment, the only thing that mattered, where I was, my roommate, diehard Knicks fan, where I was in the state of New York, was the Knicks. Was the Knicks potentially winning a championship for the first time in 21 years. Every major television network in America cut to a low-speed chase on the 405 freeway, including NBC, during Game 5 of the NBA Finals. NBC for New York cut away in New York from game five of the NBA Finals.
Also, earlier that day was the Rangers parade for winning the cup.
Yes. So imagine, if you will, I was not in the city.
What a New York sports day.
I was not in the city. I was in central New York. But imagine, if you will, that you're in a bar in Midtown Manhattan. Or you're on Long Island. Or you're in Queens. Or you're uptown. Wherever you are, you're in Jersey. You're
uptown,
watching.
Baby.
You're watching Patrick Ewing and the Knicks try to bring a championship to New York. And they cut away from game five of the NBA Finals. There's no streaming. You can't get the score on Twitter.
There's like 20 channels back
okay?
then.
There's no other. They're not going to throw the game on Peacock or flip it over to CNBC.
USA.
Or USA.
Telemundo.
There's no other place to watch the game. It's the Knicks, and you're in New York, and they're not on. Because a guy that used to play for the Bills.
And work at NBC.
True. Is in a low-speed chase on the 405 in LA. The Knicks are in the finals. And you can't watch them. Now, they would eventually get to an offset, right?
Yep.
OJ and the white Bronco are in the corner. The game is on the other side of the screen.
They then flipped it, and the game was in the small box.
And then they flipped it.
It was unbelievable. Okay.
Kids today cannot fathom. I'm being an old man here. I still have a four in front of my age. But you cannot fathom, younger audience, what that was like 30 years ago tonight. Now, at the same time, all of America, including Knicks fans, they will admit, did grasp the significance of what this was and what this would become. I don't know if any of us actually in the moment knew what it would become, right?
No.
I don't know if anyone truly knew what it would become, but we realized OJ is the star of stars, and oh my, this is something. Yeah. Like, I mean, I remember sitting at my college radio station, WAER, and somebody walked in and was like, I bet OJ did it, man. You see this? Like, yeah. Like, I remember that conversation. And this is the only story in America. But in this moment, like, no one knew what was happening with this. And it's game five of the NBA Finals with the Knicks and the Rockets. Like, and they turned it off. And there was no other place to watch it. Like, it was absurd.
If you haven't seen it, I encourage everyone to watch it. The 30 for 30, simply titled June 17th, 1994. Mm-hmm. The things that were going on in sports that day is unbelievable. There's no narrator. They let the news coverage kind of be the narrator. I mean, they take you, like Bob Costas talking to his producers about how they're going to cover this and what they're going to do. The U.S. Open was that day. Arnold Palmer played in his final U.S. Open that day. The Women's World Cup was in the United States. That was happening at the time. I mentioned the Ranger Parade happening in the Canyon of Heroes. The NBA Finals. Griffey home run chase.
It was tied 2-2, by the way.
All of it was going down. It was unbelievable. Sport day.
Knicks would go on to win that game. Lose the series. Regardless, it was one of the... Where were you?
I was at home in Maine. I just finished the eighth grade. A friend of mine who was a Knicks fan was having a sleepover, and we were so excited to watch the finals. And then just boom. Like, what is happening right now?
TJ?
I was in downtown Pittsburgh. I want to say walked into a bar on Stanwyck Street in downtown Pittsburgh. Me and my roommate, John Krasinski, you know, big New York fan, so he's hyped.
Wait, the guy from The Office?
No, that's Sean. I guess they do have the same. I never thought about
Not him?
Nah,
okay.
Nah. John Krasinski out of Long Island, New York.
Strong in. Island where they got him wilding.
Okay. We walk in, look at the TV, like, yo, where's the game at? Because I had just gotten off of work, and they're like, yo, somebody was like, yo, OJ's running from the cops. And I'll never forget. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? So we watched it there for like an hour, got on the bus. I was living in the Oakland section of Pittsburgh, get back to my apartment, turn on the TV, and it's still going on. And we were like, this is unbelievable. And like you said, looking back, right? Didn't really have cell phones like we do today for all the kids out there. Didn't have social media. And yet, the entire route of this chase, people had found out about it just through the local
from
news.
TV.
They local got news. There, somehow local knew news. The routes he was going. They went, like, I have a map right here that gives you exactly where he went from the 405 to the 110 to the 5 to the 91. And they got up on bridges. They got on the side of the road with signs. So people had time to, like, go to, like, a Home Depot or go home and grab material to make a sign and then rush to the freeway to hold it up. And, you know, nowadays kids have these meetups that they organize through, like, Instagram and TikTok. You know what I mean? There was no such thing back then.
It's crazy.
How did people know where to go?
Also, the gravity of the situation where if you're watching the news coverage, I think at one point I legitimately thought he was going to commit suicide.
That's what we were led to believe live on television.
And we were going to witness this and be bystanders to it. It was insane. And OJ, I don't even know who we could compare to today. He was so famous.
That's a good question.
So
Chris.
Incredibly you, famous. You have no idea how ridiculously, insanely popular and well-liked this guy was.
I think, you know, the comp, it just hit me. Charles Barkley.
Whew.
Except, wow. Here's former great player who enjoyed a great career outside of the sport is a pitch man for certain. I mean, I don't think Barkley has many commercials.
OJ was in movies.
The difference is OJ was the actor.
Right.
OJ was not only the Hertz pitch man, he not only was the charming, lovable, attractive, handsome, like NBC sportscaster, right? That did everything. Mm-hmm. Didn't just do football. He did the wide, wide world, like everything. Right.
Everywhere.
And he was Nordberg in Naked Gun. Yep. He was in all the Naked Gun movies. He was a comedy actor with Leslie Nielsen. And those, back in the day when people went to the movies.
Huge.
Those were huge movies. Yeah. They weren't just throwaway, like, straight-to-streaming comedies because there was no streaming. Like, those were big summer movies. That was a massive franchise. That's when you could have 2, 3, 4, 5 movies. Yeah. Now they obviously all got worse consecutively, but that was a big deal then.
Let's not forget First and 10. Remember that show?
Exactly. Yeah. So I got the route. Started at Robert Kardashian's house, like up on the 405 or near Mulholland.
Now this is at noon, so people know.
Right.
Like, it starts at noon.
So then,
but no one knew he was gone. He was supposed to turn himself in that day.
Right.
And then didn't show.
Then eventually gets all the way down the 405 into like Laguna Niguel.
Yeah, Ascension Cemetery.
Then turns back around and goes up the 5. Then cuts west on the 91.
No, this is between 7 and 7:30 at this point.
Then ends up back up the 405 and then back down the 405 and then across on the 10 to down to, like, all over Southern California. And yes, it's during game 5 of the NBA Finals.
On a Friday. On a Friday.
There will never be before social media. Like, it's hard to put into words.
Now, if this happens today, AC's driving the Bronco. OJ's in the back. He's going on Instagram Live.
That's a great point.
Instagram Live.
I also said this earlier.
It's on Instagram Live.
No,
it's on
for
TikTok.
Sure.
It is being live streamed.
But if this happened now, would this be the biggest moment in, like, live Twitter history?
Yes. You brought that up earlier, and you hit the nail on the head. This would be, because also, at that point, I don't think people really didn't think he was guilty. And I don't think you're really, one of you guys mentioned the gravity of the situation, right? I don't think you're really looking at it like that. I think people would have been having fun on Twitter with this, and then it hits you.
And
like,
it quickly would have spun the other way.
Yeah, two people really passed. But you're right. This would have been the biggest thing of all time on Twitter. And it would have been pretty amazing to read someone. And just imagine all the footage that you would have had just from
the
freeway.
People on their,
Yeah.
People on their cell phones taping everything.
Which is the world we live in now.
Crazy. Yeah, Scott Hansen is a social media star now. Because you didn't see that? What? He was at some accident. He popped up on the scene.
That's
of
real?
Some, on some, yeah, it's real.
No, I missed
and
that.
Someone was like stealing a watermelon or something. It's really weird.
What?
You didn't see this over the is that a, last
is
week?
A, hold on. Is this a Mad Lib?
No, no, you didn't
like
see
a
this?
Real thing. This,
that's a Mad Lib you just did.
No.
There was a car wreck.
There was a car wreck.
Scott the car was upside down.
Yeah.
And then you can
and then Scott Hansen showed up because he was filming it because there was weird. He thought somebody was maybe stealing it and then the people weren't there and then there was a watermelon involved and then the video got out and then everyone on Twitter was like, was that Scott Hansen? Syracuse alum, former coworker Scott Hansen.
No, I did not see
I'll fill
this.
You in the break because we need to get to Alan Shipnuck.
Okay.
30 years ago, anyway. Crazy.
What Alan Shipnuck coming up next.
Maybe we get some phone calls at the end of the hour if you remember what you
were
doing.
Yeah, what were you doing?
Okay, what were you
one
doing?
One of those people? June 17th,
1994.
Let's do that. That's a great one. The phone number is
844-204-RICH.
Let's do it.
844-204-RICH.
Where were you?
This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity, much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save, too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started.
You standing with a photograph next to Sly, and you know we all know you're. What is the height difference between you and Sylvester Stallone? If we were doing a tale of the tape here, Dolph,
I don't know, but they put me on an apple box to make me look even taller. And
no, they did no such thing.
Yeah, like he wanted that. Big
he wanted
difference.
All the way up there.
Yeah, and actually, the kid who plays my son now, he's a bit taller than me. So he's going to be a lot taller than Michael B. So it's going to be like a rematch.
Okay.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
So what would you say? Just a few inches? You got a few inches on
him? I don't know. Maybe 4 inches.
Four or five inches. Okay. Mike, why don't you come over here? Would you mind seeing him? Because we've got our audio executive.
Yeah,
come on over here. Let's just see what would the height discrepancy be here for Mike Del Tufo and Dolph Lundgren. Let's see. Yeah. What will you tell him?
It's like this. I must break you.
I'm scared. I'm out. Just scared.
Well, hold on a minute. Let's just show.
You want to measure?
Show
the tail of the tape.
Show Mike. Mike. Let's show Mike's training regimen for the Rumble in the Gundo.
Right. Here, man.
Tuesday. $20.
Yeah, all seats are $20.
We're splitting this.
But he's been training. See, he's walking around. What do you think? He's focused.
You got the beef coming up. The beef.
Well, he's got the Rocky fingerless gloves too.
Oh yeah. No, this was a great video.
Okay, we got it all. Oh wow, you gave him a shot. What do you think, Dolph?
It's not bad. It's a good beginning.
couple of years, you'll be good.
There's no end to it.
That's good, man.
Rumble in the Gundo.
For those watching on the TV side, we just showed video of Del Tufo and Brockman sparring back in the day. I had never seen that video before. Like,
I don't even know why we.
That is fantastic video. All of Del Tufo's fake Instagram followers liked that video. That was fantastic.
You got 450 wow. likes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not mad. I'm impressed. They're not faking. Instagram followers.
Sure, wink, wink.
You know, we really did a deep dive onto this, Andrew, but like I told Rich, you were like the first person to really bring it up on air one of the times.
I didn't know it was taboo.
Oh, well, we've broken it down yeah, since.
Got it.
Since
aired
but you were out. Like the first one who was like, got wait a second, that. What's going on here?
By the way, I'm Andrew Siciliano on Instagram. No spaces, no dots. I'm Andrew Dot Siciliano on Twitter, by the way. I'm sorry, not on Twitter, on the TikTok.
On the talk.
Andrew Dot Siciliano on the TikTok.
Where we can see Andrew walking and talking.
Up 2,000 followers in the last week. Anyway, this is the Rich Eisen Show. I am Andrew. Alan Shipnuck from MyGolfSpy.com right around the corner. This is the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger is the right product for you. Call or click Grainger.com or just stop by. Bryson DeChambeau's victory yesterday, was it as big as Team Crusher's victory on the LIV Tour last year? Was it?
Did they win the overall title? I missed it.
Believe they did. The Crushers. The Crushers. Joking aside, Alan Shipnuck has another amazing piece post U.S. Open on MyGolfSpy.com. And he joins us now on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, that is a great car shot, Alan. Where are you? Fill us in.
I'm somewhere between Pinehurst and the Charlotte Airport. Not as much Wi-Fi out here as I expected. So
wow. Car. Dude, well, sorry. We'll get you to the airport in those comfortable rocking chairs as fast as humanly possible. I'm reading your column here. For those who haven't read it again, it's mygolfspy.com. And this one line, Brockman and I were just talking here, stands out. That you say he might be the most dominant force now, Bryson DeChambeau, its biggest name and its most dominant force in golf. That's a lot.
That's a lot. I don't think there's any doubt he's the biggest star. I mean, Scottie Scheffler has been on a tremendous run, and winning the Masters is a huge deal. But he's just kind of a nice, sweet guy. The only interesting thing that's ever happened to Scottie Scheffler is he got in a kerfuffle with the law, now exonerated, but he doesn't really give you much on the golf course other than spectacular golf. I mean, Bryson is box office. He's pure entertainment. He has that star quality. He's a ham. He's a social media influencer. He plays a game in a completely unique way. Chicks dig the long ball, all that stuff. Scottie Scheffler right now might be slightly better than Bryson, but I don't think there's any doubt that Bryson is the biggest star in the game. And because, you know, the LIV players and the tour players only come together at the majors, that's all we have to go on. And Bryson has beat Scottie 2 times out of 3 this year. Small sample size. We'll see what happens at the Open, but Bryson can overwhelm a golf course in a way that Scottie cannot. And if you put Bryson on the average PGA Tour setup, he would be winning a lot of tournaments with the golf he's playing right now. So we need a little more time horizon before we can render a verdict on which one of those guys is the most dominant force in golf. But who's the biggest star? That's done and dusted. That was settled at Pinehurst, and it's definitely Bryson. Mm-hmm.
And it completes, as you wrote as well. And by the way, I love how I said I love the line, and then I couldn't find it on my screen. The line was, so now the golf world must reckon with the fact that DeChambeau is its biggest star and potentially most dominant force. And then you write later about the redemptive arc, your words again here, of DeChambeau's career the last couple of years. Did you think Allen, that we would see this arc? Did you think that this was where it was going, where he's gone YouTube and influencer and ultimate bro to just lovable? I mean, lovable, huggable, likable, sensitive, talking about his dad, guy that we saw yesterday there with Mike Tirico on Father's Day.
I'm not sure anybody saw this coming. I mean, it was predictable because in that Bryson had no friends on the PGA Tour. And when he went to LIV Golf, he all of a sudden had this, you know, all those guys had that siege mentality in the beginning, and they became intensely bonded. And then he had his own team where the guys on the team had to hang out with him. They had to be his friend, whether they wanted to or not. And it's really the first time in his golfing life that Bryson has had a support system. And, you know, before his father died, I wrote a big story on Bryson going way back to 2015. And one thing that his father told me is, like, Bryson could never play team sports. Like, he was just too intense for the other kids, and he just couldn't understand why they didn't give maximum effort at all times. And that's what attracted him to golf in the first place. And so finally, this lone wolf has kind of found his pack, if you will. And it's been part of this shift. And he's like kind of these wise, older veterans who have taught him a lot about the game, but more importantly, a lot about life. I asked one of his teammates who wished to remain anonymous. I said, "What have you taught Bryson?" And he said, "Don't try and find a girlfriend on Instagram." But you know, words to live by. Oh yeah, 100%. But
no, I just don't know if it's good advice. I don't doubt they gave it. I'm just debating whether or not it's good advice. That's all. Forget it. I cut you off.
It depends what kind of girl you're looking for, I think. But so in this support system, he's really blossomed and he's coming to his own as a golfer. And then the embrace of YouTube, as cheesy as it sounds, like, it's turned him into a performer. Like, he has realized that, you know, in a way that, like, a Patrick Cantlay never will, the guy looks like he's constipated at all times. Like, nobody wants Patrick Cantlay to ever win because it's such a downer. Whereas Bryson gives so much to the fans, and he understands that professional sports does not exist without the fans. They're the reason for the whole thing. And so he's found a way to, I mean, he shamelessly plays to them, but then he takes all that energy and he kind of refines it into this fuel that has helped propel him onto these great performances. So you take the style of play, in fact, he's a great looking guy, he's got this exuberant personality, and that he's really embraced this role, and he's turned into must watch TV.
Talking to Alan Shipnuck here from MyGolfSpy.com. On his way to the Charlotte airport to fly home from Pinehurst after Bryson DeChambeau won, and I hate to phrase it this way, Rory McIlroy lost. He didn't just come in second. He lost with blowing those two putts there down the stretch after catching fire and after birdies on three out of four holes. Alan, the look on his face when he exited, when he saw DeChambeau drop the putt on 18, the way he left, it was painful. And it leaves me waking up this morning asking if he will ever win one of these things again.
That's why, you know, tournament golf is such compelling theater, because you are all alone out there on that stage. You can't hide behind your teammates. And when it starts going bad, it happens in slow motion. You know, it's a lot of time in between shots, and you can feel this energy building. And, you know, Rory played beautiful golf for 14 holes. I mean, he was the hottest player on the golf course. He was two shots clear of the field. He had total command of his game. He was driving it beautifully. The big question with Rory at these majors, his putters let him down so many times on Sunday, and he was walking in 20 footers like it was a practice round. I mean, it just felt like this was the moment. It was finally happening. You know, Bryson couldn't hit a fairway and was just scuffling with the golf course the whole time. And then to see Rory just get the yips like that, it was so jarring. And also, you know, the rest of his game let him down too. I mean, he's got a 7-iron there on 16. It's a par 3. Ball's on a tee, and he can't hit the green. Now, that wasn't an easy flag to get it close to, but you have to hit the green. You know, 18... And when he snipes it into the, you know, this is the generational best driver of the golf ball we've ever seen, snipes it off of 18 fairway and leaves himself in full scramble mode. Like, he just, his entire game, as soon as he got the lead, everything flipped. He just started playing tight. And again, you always felt like Bryson was playing to win, and all of a sudden it looked like Rory was playing not to lose. And he just got defensive and tentative, and obviously, that was manifested in his putting stroke. You know, the putt on the last hole, the downhill left to right slider on a super fast green, nobody wants that. But he kind of tried to baby it in as if he was worried about the comebacker. The comebacker doesn't matter, as Bryson showed when he made that putt. You have got to make the first putt. Rory should have jammed it in the hole. And just that, and of course, the one that he missed on 16, you know, that was an easy straight putt, and he just dead pulled it. It was just a nervous, fast stroke. So it was hard to watch. It really was. And it's definitely fair to question how Rory is going to recover from this. The only glimmer of hope, if you're a McIlroy fan, is that prior to this, the worst loss he'd ever suffered was 2011 Masters. He made a 4-shot lead on Sunday, and he completely came undone. And you know, was in the cabin, that famous shot on the 10th hole, shot 80. And the very next major, the U.S. Open, he came back and he won by 8 strokes, and he found something inside of himself to bounce back. It's going to take that kind of soul searching and that kind of tenacity and mental toughness. But it's a lot easier when you're a young phenom without so much scar tissue. I mean, everything Rory's been through on and off the golf course since then, it just seems like his nerve endings are a little fried. And it's unfathomable that he's never going to win another major championship again through this prime when he's winning everything else. But that's where we are. It was a brutal loss, and how he recovers is going to be fascinating.
Alan, you were there. How was it viewed when he left?
A little churlish, a little immature. I mean, but also to me, it was a lost opportunity for Rory, because there have been plenty of gutting losses on the golf course. You think about Greg Norman at Augusta in 96. You think about Phil at Wingfoot, you know, Tom Watson at Turnberry. You can go down the list. These guys stood up and they faced the music. And in their conversations after the tournament with reporters, the humanity poured out and they became much more sympathetic characters. And the pain they were feeling and you know, the golf world kind of grieved along with them. For Rory just to peel out and jilt essentially the fans, because you know, reporters, we don't matter other than we're the voice of the fans. We get to ask the questions that the fans want the answer to. You know, we're just their confederates. And, you know, fans were kind of denied some closure. They wanted to hear about Rory, what happened, what he was feeling. And so it just was a mistake on a lot of levels. I mean, Rory has banked a lot of goodwill through the years. This is not going to curdle his relationship necessarily with the press or with golf fans. But I think it just it's going to follow him more. You know, he could have gotten up there and not said a word and just burst into tears, and the whole world would have wanted to hug him, you know. And now he's just going to prolong this agony. He's still going to have to face the music eventually. So I think it was a tactical mistake, but clearly it's reflective of how much pain he was feeling. And, you know, I'm sure golf fans have known he's been through this thing with his wife where he filed for divorce and they got back together, and the emotional weight of that. Like, I certainly understand him not wanting to talk and not answer questions. Like, that's a human reaction. But, you know, he's paid $80 million a year to be a spokesman for golf and to be it's one of its biggest stars. And that it's not just when you win, it's also when you lose that people want to hear from you.
Yeah. Do you think he plays this week?
I would be amazed if he did. I mean, I don't know how he gets out of bed and looking forward to the grind of tournament preparation. And, you know, he shut it down at various times in the past, citing mental health breaks that he needed. How does he motivate himself for Hartford? Other than maybe he does want to put this behind him and he wants to make some birdies and he wants to make some 3-footers and he just wants to try and put this in the rearview mirror and not let it linger longer. But I mean, I'm personally exhausted just from watching the last round yesterday.
Same.
I don't know how Rory gets out of bed and does it again so soon, but we'll see.
There is, and I said this morning, I'm a card-carrying member of the media. I would want the guy to speak, and as you said, we're doing the job. We're the conduit here. We're here to ask the questions that the fans would love to hear answered. There was part of me yesterday watching him with NBC's great camera work, and obviously he's watching Bryson on 18. Part of me that gets it. Part of me is like, man, this is the one time where I feel for you. I get it if you want to leave, but it is, I agree with you, part of the job. Alan Shipnuck, everyone. Read him mygolfspy.com and enjoy the rocking chair when you get through security. We thank you, Alan, as always, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Who finishes their career with more major victories, Bryson or Rory?
Bryson has 2.
Currently
Rory's got 4.
Rory has 4.
Okay. That's a great question. I'm going to say Rory. He's still young enough And I do think he's going to win again. I think he's going to win multiples. I do. I think he still has it. Of course, he still has it.
Oh, he easily,
has it. I mean, he's as good as anyone.
Best case scenario, he has seven right now. He wins at the British Open 2 years ago. He wins the last two U.S. Opens.
Correct.
I mean, the game
last
is still
year
there.
Here in L.A.
You know, if you look at a guy 10 years ago, Rory's last victory, he's the only player from 10 years ago still in the top 10. He's still playing phenomenal golf, as we just saw. It's just funny. It's, you know, interesting to think about. Sports talk radio question.
Sure. I'll go with Rory. I still have faith. I do.
I do, too.
But watching yesterday.
Oh, man. That's the, like you said earlier, that's the mental part of the game. Missing three footers, that's mental.
It's like watching somebody clank free throws down the stretch. It's like watching. It's hard to draw this comparison, but like Chuck Knoblauch being unable to throw to first base. And I realize an average 4-3 putout in a July baseball game can't be compared to a putt on 18 at the U.S. Open. I understand that. One is far easier than the other. But when somebody is so good and a machine, I mean, there are times where you think Rory, went to speech therapy as a kid, true story, couldn't pronounce my R's. You think he's a cyborg. There are times where, like, you think you're watching The Terminator, and then he misses the putts with his best golf 5 minutes previous. Like, it's painful to watch, and it makes you wonder how you get over it.
Yeah, like you said.
It's much different than last year. You know, so much different than
they talk about
year.
Superpowers. Rory's superpower is driving the ball. We've never seen anyone drive the ball like him. 350, you know, striped it. And 18, he pulls it left and gives himself a horrible shot behind that wire grass heading in. And like Alan said, he's got a scramble and leaves himself a 4-footer on the side, big bender left to right. You know, you gotta stripe that, man. It's 18 on U.S. Open Sunday. You can win this thing. It's tough.
Coming up, let's take some of your phone calls. 844-204-RICH, 844-204-RICH. And also, when is it the wrong time to go up to a celebrity that you notice across a room and say hi? That's next.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
Larry David, we've done this before with you. I've got three social situations. You are the judge and jury as to what is done.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. First one is destination weddings. Okay.
It's already funny.
Destination weddings. I say to my wife, we're going to a destination wedding. We should not give a present because my presence is my present. What do you say, Larry David?
First of all, where is the wedding? How far is it?
Another country.
Okay, you don't even go. You don't go. You don't go.
But it's a close family friend.
I don't care. I am not flying 14 hours on a plane.
Yes.
to somebody's wedding. I'm not going to do that.
What the distance from your house that you
would... An hour and a half by car. That's it.
Here's social situation number two for you, Larry David.
Sure.
So you're going into somebody's house for, let's say, the fight, the Mayweather-McGregor fight. This happened to one of our producers, Ken Tulo, they brought desserts. Fight ends. Nobody's touched the desserts. They like these desserts. Is it okay to take the desserts home?
It's still...
It's a perishable.
You're bringing it to the host, right?
That's true.
The host saw it.
Mm-hmm.
It's different if the host didn't see it, then you could sneak out with it.
So if the host never saw it, if you placed it on the table and there's no note,
yeah,
that's when you could take it.
If you think you're not going to get caught, yeah, then you could take it.
Last one for you, Larry, LD. Shoes off on a plane. Do you have a problem with somebody on a plane taking
shoes? I have a big problem with it. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Keep them on. Okay? You know, don't make yourself... It's not your house. All right? You're outside. You're in public. I don't want to see your socks. And God forbid you have a little odor down there. Who needs that, right?
And I don't even want to know if you do have it.
Exactly. It's close quarters. Come on. Take a couple of minutes. Keep your shoes on.
It is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich is back tomorrow. Hi, my name is Andrew.
Hi.
Can I tell you about Weber Searwood Pellet Grill?
Oh, yeah.
May I?
Because we had some good food on the other day.
I'm hungry right now.
Fill the grill, fire up the party. Kids, get the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. Go from low and slow on smoke boost mode at 180 degrees all the way to high heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Food will look good, and it'll taste good. It'll look as good as it tastes. The grill is hot in 15 minutes, and cleanup is easy. You'll cook on two levels at the same time, so you can make enough for everyone. You can add a heavy-duty rotisserie or a rust-resistant griddle insert. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Get fired up for the final 10 minutes of the show before Rich is back tomorrow by going to the phones here. The phone number, 844-204. Rich, let's go to Dave in Council Bluff. Dave, how are you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm doing fine. I was just calling about where I was 30 years ago today.
Where were you, Dave?
I was in my bedroom watching the NBA Finals. When Costas broke in and said that they may have to interrupt the game because of the incidents that were happening on the 405 in L.A.
And they did. And it was game five of the NBA Finals between the Rockets and the Knicks. And again, I was watching, Dave, I appreciate the phone call, in New York, and imagine the reaction in New York when the Knicks are trying to win a championship for the first time in 20 years. Still, by the way, have not since. And they took the Knicks off TV in the finals, and you can't find it elsewhere. There is no streaming. There is no other fallback option. They simply took the NBA finals off the air, albeit briefly, eventually put it in the offset, but they took it off the air. Dorsey is in Park City. Dorsey, you are on the 405.
I worked briefly for a record company in Southern California. It was my last 2 weeks of work there, and I was sent down to Orange County. This is the weird part of the story, too, to pick up a possible CD from a band that they had self-produced that we were going to check out. So I got down there, I bought the CD, and I was driving north, and I was listening to the CD, and I had absolutely no idea what was going on. People are stopped everywhere. The traffic keeps stopping. There's people on the highway with signs, but I was driving the other way, so I didn't know what they were looking at. And you know those big walls? So I couldn't tell what the hell was going on. And but I'm listening to the CD, and I'm thinking, well, this is crazy. I've never seen anything like this, but it's L.A., and I've lived here for a year, and it's always crazy, and it's always stupid driving on the highway. So I didn't think anything of it. And I get home, and I find out what's going on, and I can't believe what's going on. But here's you want to hear the kicker to the story?
Please.
The band that I was listening to, which the record company that I worked for didn't sign, was Sublime.
What?
Oh.
Yeah. We as a group didn't like him very much, but that was who I was picking up from Orange County on the day that I was driving back with OJ on the 405. And
if you had a crystal ball,
part of the story is when you watch some of the footage from the helicopters, you can see my tan 77 Volvo because it's the only car on the highway with ski racks on it.
Whoa, hold on. Was it Dorsey? Was it stick? Was it four on the floor?
Oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
77 Volvo, mm-hmm. dude. I drove that. I went to Florida State. I drove that thing across country three times.
So in high school, I had an 80 Volvo, four on the floor, white one. Fantastic. Learn to drive stick on it. Miss it to this day. Dorsey, we appreciate your call, man. That was wild. Sublime.
I just wonder, like, I was wanting to ask Dorsey, like, when did he realize they made a mistake not signing Sublime?
which massive hit they had?
Was it 16 bars into what I got? And they're like, we messed up, man.
This is going to be bad for us.
Wow.
I don't practice.
Okay, we can't do that. We're
going to
get Sean Mitchell's at home cursing us right now. Sorry,
all right,
Sean.
Quick, tell your celeb story because you teased it this morning before the show. So we're talking about this before.
Let's get this out of the way real quick. So I was at last Sunday here in LA in Santa Monica. There is a big food fest every year called EatsCon. Santa Monica Airport, the Barker Hangar, anyone who's been there, it's a big weekend food fest, fun times. So I'm there with my buddy Greg, and beautiful Sunday afternoon, having a beer, eating some tacos and pad thai, a whole bunch of different food. And he goes, I am 95% sure that is Mike D of the Beastie Boys over there.
Oh.
Mike D, that's me. Come on and get some.
I'm Mike D. I got the deuces. Wow.
Exactly.
What's the girlies' numbers?
By the way, definitely someone who would blend into a crowd. You'd
absolutely
really have to be a fan to notice.
Is there with, I believe, his wife, right? And maybe there's one other person that was walking around with them. Like maybe like a guide from the event. I'm not sure, but nobody recognized him. He's a dude eating a taco. And I'm like, do I go say something? I'm like, I grew up in the 80s and early 90s, like the Beastie Boys.
Yep.
Like that it, like it's,
uh-huh.
It, yeah, you get it,
totally,
right?
Totally.
Like it's like Willie Mays just walked in, okay?
Yeah.
Willie Mays just walked in the room. And I'm Mike D and I get respect. So
right. Cash like, in your jewelry is what I expect.
Do I go say something? And Greg's like, I don't know. I'm like,
You did it.
I had had two beers. And
yeah,
I'm like,
you did.
I'm going to go say something. But I didn't want to make a scene.
Right, of course.
Because he clearly is enjoying his afternoon.
Right, you're not like, yo, my dude.
No, I would never do that anyway. Right, you know me well enough. But I don't want to like make like everyone else goes, wait a minute, who is that? Oh, I see. Uh-huh. So I go over and I'm like, hey, want to say Andrew Siciliano, introduce myself. He's like, hey, no recognition whatsoever. Fine. Like, just wanted to say, big fan. Don't want to mess up your afternoon. You got me through high school. Like,
thank
something
you.
Like
and
that. And then
you.
He kind of smiled, nodded, shook his hand. That was it. I walked away. But then I'm like, I wanted a picture. And I can't believe I had the stones to go ask or to say hi, but not take the picture. Yeah. And I'm mad at myself. Rich is back tomorrow. I'm Andrew. See ya.
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.